This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us. A warm welcome to the William Hill Golf Podcast. It's Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham here to look at two good events this week with the Abu Dhabi HSBC Golf Championship on the European Tour, and we're sticking in Hawaii for the Sony Open on the PGA Tour. We'll also have the thoughts of Dave Tindall, former Sky Sports golf editor, on the two events as well. Dave will be a permanent fixture in the future live on the Golf Podcast, but this week offering his thoughts via record.
A little pre-rec
with Mr. Tindall.
Basically because it's Wednesday, isn't it, Dave?
It is.
And we're going to do these on a Tuesday, but the American tournament finished very late on Monday night.
Yeah, quick word on that American tournament, the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Well done to Dave, who picked Patrick Reed, winner of the opening event on the calendar year. And Mike, you landed Russell Henley a place at 40-1 as well. So yep. A good selection there.
Yeah. I didn't realise that Dave had actually picked Patrick Reed, so fair play to him there, Dave. Russell Henley was only one shot off a playoff place himself, had a poor front nine on the final round, led first round obviously, and came with a wet sail, as they say, in the final nine holes, but just needed to play the front nine a bit better, finish one shot out of a playoff. Unfortunately is half the price this week, so the secret's out, if there was a secret, but he was a decent price at 40, so he ran well for us, got a place, which is nice, and well done to Dave Patrick Reed.
Yeah, and on the European Tour, Charles Schwartzel collapsed in South Africa. Andy Sullivan went on to claim victory there, an improving player, Andy Sullivan. But that tournament, I think, will be remembered for Schwartzel's collapse. I don't think I'm remiss in saying that.
No, you're not.
Really disappointing from Schwartzel.
Really disappointing. He's lost that assassin's feel that he seemed to have when he was early in his career, where he was someone who could finish tournaments, the Masters being a classic example. But, yeah, he's looking like one to avoid now, isn't he? He needs a win.
Particularly in South Africa as well. He always had that killer instinct in South Africa where he could take apart those weaker fields.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't rule him out entirely. He's a lot of ability, but he'll be very frustrated with that finish. It was awful, wasn't it?
Mm. Let's move on to this week's events then. And we start off with the Abu Dhabi HSBC Golf Championship on the European Tour. Rory McIlroy heads a stellar cast here for the 10th edition of the tournament, and once again the Abu Dhabi Golf Club in the Emirates is the host course, and McIlroy is at the top of the betting. 4-1 Rory McIlroy here with William Hill. Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose both 10-1. Ricky Fowler is 12s. Martin Keimer 14-1. Danny Willett is 20s. Jamie Donaldson 25-1. Torbjörn Olesen is 28s, and it's 33s and bigger the rest. The golf course, Mike, measures 7,600 yards, and subtle changes have been made to the venue since 2011. Fairways a little bit tighter than they once were, and the rough is thicker. Some of the greens have also been increased in terms of square footage to provide more potential pin positions. But driving accuracy, often a non-factor here, Mike. It's a golf course where you can grip it and rip it, and you've got to find greens in reg.
Yeah, that's exactly it, and then put pretty decently as well, I would say. Albeit the winning scores aren't as low as they were before they changed the course. They used to be, you know, in the region of 20-odd under, didn't they? They're not quite there now. They're like 13 and 14 under the last 3 or 4 years. Well, 3 years. So it's made it a little bit more difficult, but you still do need to put, obviously. Mm. It's self-evident in most golf tournaments you need to do that. But I would agree with you that greens in regulation is probably the key start and more important than driving accuracy, for sure.
Definitely. Last year when Pablo Larrazabal won, none of the top five ranked inside the top 30 in driving accuracy. When in 2013, when Jamie Donaldson won, he was the only player that finished in the top five in the tournament to rank inside the top 20 in driving accuracy. So it is a real non-factor this week, driving accuracy. I'm not certain
it's absolutely a bomber's paradise, though, are you? I don't think it harms, because the accuracy is not that important. I don't think it harms to be able to hit it a long way, but I don't think that the shorter players are excluded. I think it's more just a second shot course.
Yeah, I think if you're missing greens in regulation, you've got to put lights out, haven't you? And that's what Lev Atherbal did last year. He missed a lot of greens in regulation, but just scrambled incredibly well.
Yeah, which is very important, yeah.
I've just got the one pick in this event,
I've just
Mike.
Got one pick too.
Okay.
Yeah. You go first.
I've gone with Torbjørn Olesen, 28-1. He has been cutting the betting slightly, but there's no doubting this man's talent. And his winning the Perth International back in October was superb. Followed that up with a tie for 6th in the HSBC Champions event and a tie for 12th. In the season-ending DP World Tour Championship as well. Got really strong form in the desert, Olesen. Second here in 2013, eighth here the previous year in 2012. In addition to those two performances as well, a lot of his other top performances have come in the desert. Conditions seem to suit his game. He's been third in the last couple of outings at the Dubai Desert Classic, fifth in Qatar last year as well. So loves playing in the Far East. So I've gone with Olesen at 28-1. Anticipate him having a big year. Hopefully, Mike, from a personal perspective, he can start this week.
Starting Abu Dhabi, yeah. I think, to be clear on this, and we'll be discussing probably in a second, but Rory McIlroy is hard to get away from in this event. But I haven't picked him. My only pick is an old favourite of mine who let me down horribly on his last outing by messing up. Robert Carlsen, I've gone for.
Okay.
Who was 6th in the Dubai World Tour Championship on his last out. And if you remember, David, back to Mitch Wayne, he 3-putted from about a foot.
Yes.
To finish 6th and out of the money. Now, I just think that at 66-1, he's a decent price in this event for a player who, he's another one who loves kind of playing in the desert. It was 6th in that Dubai event at the season-ending event. In November there, but also was tied 8th in this event last year. Certainly has good form in this part of the world. Was in good form at the back end of last season. That 6th being preceded by a couple of good finishes in the BMW Masters and the Alfred Dunhill Links in two of the four tournaments he played before that. Was there or thereabouts for most of the season, playing pretty reasonable golf. His putting is actually pretty decent. He's top 20 for putts and greens in regulation on the 2014 stats. But there's no doubt he's another one who could do with a win because he's less than resolute when there are guns to his head, I think. That's one criticism of him, probably. But and certainly on the European Tour, it's 2010 since he got a win in Dubai, as it happens. So... But I like his profile for desert events. He's also won in Qatar in the past. He's never won here in Abu Dhabi, to be fair. But that 8th last year was a good performance. So I'm hoping that at 66-1, he can give us a good run for his money. I would like to think he's gone away after the Dubai event, had a good think over the winter period, freshened up, and it will hopefully come back firing on all guns blazing, wanting to try and prove himself.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot. He was on my shortlist. We'll talk through some of the other players we had on our shortlist and maybe speak more about McIlroy in a few moments' time. But Robert Carlsen, 66-1. So two picks there for myself and Mike. I'm going with Olesen at 28 and Mike picking Robert Carlsen at 66-1. We'll hear the thoughts of Dave Tindall now. This was recorded on Tuesday, so these prices obviously subject to change. But here were Dave's thoughts on Tuesday on this event in Abu Dhabi. Good to be joined now by Dave Tindall, who's going to be a permanent fixture on the Golf Podcast from next week onwards. But Dave stopping by to give his selections in the two tournaments this week. And Dave, first of all, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast.
Thank you.
Few selections for each event this week. I know you're going to be with myself and Mike on a permanent basis from here on out, but stopping by to give your selections. Firstly, on the Abu Dhabi event this week, sees the return of Rory McIlroy, stellar cast as well. Should be a good event, this one.
Yeah, I was kind of excited and did all the research on Monday morning for this, kind of just, you know, to get in the mood for it, because it is kind of the one where the big boys come out to play, so looking forward to that one. I mean, Rory's going to be hard to beat. I think that's the bottom line, isn't it? But he does seem to find one, two good every year, doesn't he? Keeps finishing second, so keep it fairly simple. From that front tier, I like Justin Rose. I mean, he's another, he's got second-itis a little bit in this event.
Yeah.
But, you know, 10-1, Rory's 4-1. I think Rose is due a win in the Middle East, and at 10-1, I'm prepared to take that risk, I think, rather than fours on Rory. So he would be kind of the one from the top bunch. The one I really like, though, is Thorbjørn Olesen. I think you'll like him as well.
Yeah,
you?
I've gone for him, yeah. Dave, and I do like him 33-1. A bit of a desert rat, isn't he, Olesen?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you look through his form. He's got form here. He missed out by a shot when Jamie Donaldson won 2 years ago. He's got top fives in Dubai and Qatar. I think he had residence here, didn't he? I think he, like a few of the Scandinavians, he kind of assures himself of some winter golf by coming over there rather than freezing back home. Yeah, I really like him. I mean, the worry, I think I would have put him up for this regardless. I mean, the extra confidence is the way he played at the back end of last year, when you kind of wondered, oh, this was this potential superstar, and then he'd kind of dipped a bit, and
yep.
You kind of give a bit of leeway to youngsters, but he came back on strong, won the Perth International. I think he's prime for this. 33 is a nice price.
Yeah, absolutely. And a couple of outsiders as well, Dave.
Yeah, just throwing, you mentioned Desert Rat, Tyrrell Hatton, who ironically doesn't have a hat on but he had five top fives last year. First of them was here in this tournament. Last one was in the, you know, DP World Tour Championship. Clearly likes this part of the world, so nice price at 80s. The other one, which could go terribly wrong, but you never know, Lucas Bjerregaard. He had two top fives at the end of last season, was about to make it three, and then shot what you or I would be happy to shoot with, 89.
Yeah.
And I tried to read, what happened to him that day? I tried to read up about it, and I found a Danish journalist who just couldn't work it out. There's no logic, rhyme, or reason to it. But, you know, he's 150s. He had a good round there. You know, with three top fives, he would have been maybe half that price. So it's his tournament debut, but I'll give him a whirl at 150s.
Okay, good stuff. So your selections there, going with Justin Rose 10-1, Thorbjørn Olesen at 33-1, having a look at a couple of outsiders as well, Tyrrell Hatton at 80-1 here with Hills, and Lucas Bjerregaard at 150-1. Good to speak to Dave Tindall there on the event, the Abu Dhabi Golf Championship, Mike. Obviously, as mentioned, just the one price has changed there. Olesen has been cutting the market from 33s into 28s now, but other picks, Justin Rose 10-1, along with Lucas Bjerregaard, big price, and Tyrrell Hatton also a big price as well. I'm glad we've matched there with Olesen, myself and Dave. Looking, hopefully he'll run well.
What, you think he'll bring you luck, do you?
Hopefully. That, I've got my fingers crossed anyway.
Well, yeah, he's got a big chance. He's in great form and he's a very good player, so very popular selection, no doubt, this week. I have to say, though, I was awfully close to picking Rory McIlroy myself.
Yep.
4-1 may seem like a stingy price, but is it really, given his form at this track? He's in it. You know, he's never won here, but he's been second a number of times from very few players. The only time he didn't really play well was when there was all that hoo-ha and he'd switched over to Nike.
Yeah.
Clubs. So, yeah, I have to say, Dave, he looks a bit of an each-way bet to nothing to me at fours. I can't imagine him not being in the top five, can you?
I agree wholeheartedly. And you mentioned his three second-place finishes here. Arguably should have won when he had that rules infraction.
Correct.
Cost him a couple of shots in the third round last year and then only finished one shot behind Lerathabal. Obviously had a lot of time, a lot of holes to repair that damage, but you look at the bare figures at the end of the tournament, he's lost by one and it was a ridiculous two-shot penalty. Rules of golf suggest he should have got the two-shot shotter, but he didn't realise at the time. And he's upped his level since then as well.
Yeah, he has, and yeah, absolutely. And he'll be firing at the, you know, beginning of the season. He's got his goals written down on a boarding card. And the number one goal was to win the Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, I can imagine. The Masters was number two,
insider,
wasn't it?
An insider said that to me.
You've got
number two, yeah.
You've got one of those air stewardesses working for you, haven't you, Mike, again?
A little bit of an insight there. Yeah. I don't want to breach any confidences. Joking apart, obviously the Masters will be his number one target, but he really fancies it this year, doesn't he? I think he'll be He'll be well prepared, and I think he'll be looking to start the season at a course that he likes and get the first win at that track.
Honourable mentions? Who came closest for you, Mike, barring the one selection?
Yeah, I would say Brandon Grace, who now he's got a win to his name, should be pretty close. And has some good form here. He really was probably the closest for me. Just 33, he's just slightly undercooked his value, I think. So I had to step back from that. Mark Adzede, our compiler, likes him, so he's a little bit short there.
Yeah.
But he must have a good chance at a track that he's played well on before. Rafa Cabrera Bello has good form here as well and loves the desert. We all remember that he had a little bit of a disaster at the end of last season, didn't he, when he just was all over the place on the back nine when he could really have got a win to his name. So
he's had a couple of instances like that, hasn't he, where he's put himself bang in contention and then just faltered slightly in the closing stages.
Yeah, it's disappointing for him because he's a very talented player, but he just, that 75 that he got on the final round there was just, it was woeful really, wasn't it, in Dubai, where he had every chance to win after going 64-65 and then 75 with, I mean, he's going in the water more often than Michael Phelps, wasn't he? It was just pathetic, really. But he's still a player that I like, but I couldn't quite put him up. I'd be interested to see how Rafa goes this year. Something of a pivotal year for him, I think, don't you? He's knocking on the door, but he's just looking like he may not. I don't know. He's not showing me that he's an out and out winner.
No, mentally not. Maybe not quite there yet.
He's got two tour wins to his name, but not, you know, one of which was in Dubai actually, but in this part of the world, not Abu Dhabi, but Dubai. So let's see. He does play very well in the desert. He was on my mind, and I suppose Pablo Larrazabal looks quite a big price considering he won last year at 80s.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, he's very volatile. 80s could look a big prize for the last year's winner.
You mentioned a couple that I had four names down on my list. Obviously, picked Olesen. You've mentioned Grace and Carlson. Obviously, right. Carlson, one of your picks. They were two. And then Thomas Aiken was the other one at 100-1. I like the way he's playing at the moment, Aiken. Striking the ball well from tee to green. It might not be the ideal venue for him, might want a slightly tighter track.
Yeah, might, yeah.
Where he can showcase that ability.
I think he won the Order of Merit, didn't he, on the Sunshine Tour, if I can say
it. Did he?
I think he did, yeah. So, yeah, he's in good nick, good player.
The negative with Aiken is, if it does come down to putting, he's not putting that well at the moment, Aiken, which would be the negative there.
Yeah.
So just the two picks, one apiece for that event.
George Kurtz's good form here, but awful form in South Africa in the last couple of events, in weak events. So he's got really good form at this course. So he might be overpriced, actually, George Kurtz, but if he gets going. But I couldn't put him up on the basis of what were very disappointing efforts recently.
Mm. Let's move on. Let's have a look at the Sony Open then, which is this week's PGA Tour event. Jason Day is the 12-1 market leader here for the Sony. Chris Kirk is 14-1. Jimmy Walker and Matt Kuchar both 16s. Hideki Matsuyama and Zach Johnson both 20s. Russell Henley is 22s. Harris English is 28-1. And it's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. The tour, as mentioned earlier, remains in Hawaii for the second straight week, but we move from Kapalua to Wailea for the Sony Open. And this venue, Mike, has stood the test of time, hasn't it? It's the 50th time this week it's going to host, and it's much less exposed than Kapalua. The trade winds aren't as much of an issue here, given that the palm trees offer a little bit of protection. Finding the fairways at this venue is notoriously difficult, but it doesn't often have a bearing on scoring. If you look through, routinely we see players hitting less than half the fairways throughout the week here, but still managing to post finishes inside the top 10.
Yes, it's a good challenge, Dave. It's not a long hitter particularly, or particularly accurate players. So there's everyone seems to have a bit of a chance. You get shorter players in the mix. You get bombers in there, so that's good. That gives everyone a bit of a chance. You know, again, it's another course where I think hitting the greens in the right number and putting well is probably the key attribute, as so often it is. We see that a lot of weeks. The courses these days are seemingly more set up for that, a bit more multi-dimensional than just being grip it and rip it most of the courses that the Tours play these days. So, yeah, a cracking event with a with an interestingly priced favourite who only has one stroke player win to his name on tour, Jason Day at 12-1, having been on tour for a number of years. You'd have to say, Dave, that that is not... I'm not saying Jason Day can't win, he's a player I really like, but his first tour event was in 2006 or thereabouts, I think.
Yes.
And it's 2015 now, and he's got one stroke player win to his name on the PGA Tour.
He's difficult to back as a favourite, isn't he?
At 12-1, I'm not there. I'm not with that at all. He's probably the most talented player in the field, you know, with alongside maybe Luke Donald. But, my God, that's not a price that entices me, does it you?
No, I think it's. I think he's a bad favourite at 12-1. I'd much rather be with Chris Kirk or Jimmy Walker or Matt Kuchar, who have got multiple wins to their names in the last few seasons.
Yeah.
One stat that's bandied around continually when looking at this event is that since the Tournament of Champions moved to Hawaii 15 years ago, 10 Sony Open winners have played Kapalua the previous week before coming on to win here.
Yep.
But I don't know if that's relevant, really, because you look at the markets each and every year, the top end of the market is obviously dominated by players from that have played in Kapalua.
Because they're winners.
Because they're winners.
Yeah, they're in good form.
Yeah, the top seven in the betting here all played Kapalua last year, and you find that every single year they take so much out of the market, you'd expect 66% of the winners to have played Kapalua the previous week.
Might be a related contingency, that one. it's kind of, yeah, there is undoubtedly a propensity for people who have won the previous year to be shorter prices, and therefore they're in Hawaii, they're going to play both weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into that. I hope not anyway, because my selection didn't play at Kapalua.
No, well, I've
got... Hopefully we'll be playing there next year.
Yeah, I've got... precisely. I've got a couple of picks, and neither of my two guys played in Kapalua.
Go on.
I just wondered about experience here. Do you think... You look back through the list, the roll call of winners, barring Russell Henley, his exceptional performance a couple of years ago, the last player to win on his first start at Wailea was Bruce Litsky back in 77, so maybe need a little, not necessarily to have put in good performances here, but have to experience the track.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way, doesn't it? Henley's performance was an outstanding, just completely out of the blue first tour event, wasn't it?
Oh, it was amazing, wasn't
really?
It?
He'd been in good form, having said that, on the web.com, to be fair. Yeah, I think you're right, Dave. I've gone for a player who's actually won here before as my pick, so I definitely was looking for experience of the course.
I've got a couple of selections here.
You go first.
So I'll kick off. Both my guys have been cut slightly in the betting, but sticking with them, I'll go with Harris English at 28-1. He's too strong a player with too good a swing to be out of the limelight for long. And Mike, I expect him to have a strong start to this season. He's already shown he can compete at this layout with a fourth last year and a ninth place finish back in 2013. Reading last year's results through, 2014's results through, a lot of average performances, but you look at the stats, his ball striking never left him. His putting deserted him to a certain extent, so he does need to putt better this season, but I really expect him to have a big year. He's a Georgia boy, he's not yet in the Masters, so he'll be looking to get in that field, definitely. So he should be highly motivated early on. He's not the straightest, but he is long off the tee. Good form at this venue. He might have taken a little bit of inspiration from the work of Jordan Spieth and Patrick Reed recently. He'll see himself in that bracket with those sort of players. I think he'll want to put himself back in the spotlight. So I'll go with Harris English at 28-1 as my opening gambit here.
Fair call, Dave. I've gone for a little bit of an outsider as my only pick, a past winner of this event. Mark Wilson is my pick. He won this in 2011. Hasn't done an awful lot since he won it, if I'm being completely honest. In fact, missed a couple of cuts in the event. But I'm just willing to give him a bit of a shot because he's a player that is a winner for me. He's got 5 tour wins, rather surprisingly. Compare that to someone like Jason Day, who's got 1.
Yep.
Been on tour longer than him, in truth. But nevertheless, shows that when he does get it together, he's not afraid to cross the winning line, which is something that I do like in players. I do like players that can do that. Back end of last season, of what was a fairly moderate 2014 year for him, He got an eighth in McGladrey and a ninth in the Sanderson's Farms, which were really encouraging events, and then looked a real, to have a real shape up in the Mayakoba, which I think he may have won the Mayakoba. So it was disappointing that he disappointed by missing the... It was disappointing that he disappointed. It absolutely was. That he didn't match that with a good performance in that event at the back end of the year, because he actually missed the cut in Mayakoba, but surprisingly. So, you know, you've got to take this on a little bit of trust. He's had... last calendar year was not outstanding, but he has won at this course before, and he is showing definitely with those two top tens out of his last three events on tour that he could be coming back to the boil. Very good greens regulation man. A lot will hinge on his putting, but he's 100-1, so I think at that price he's worth a go. I really do. 100-1 Mark Wilson. If he gets in the mix, he knows how to win. If he's been working hard, as I hope he has, I've been willing him over the Christmas period to work hard on his putting.
I mean, tweeting him, you get on that, you get out on that.
Think positive thoughts,
range.
Matt. Think positive thoughts. Let's hope that he can give us a good spin at hundreds.
100-1, Mark Wilson. My second selection here, Mark Leishman, the Aussie.
You like him.
I do like him a lot, 33-1. I get the feeling you don't like him as much as I like him, Mike.
No, I don't.
He was ninth in the WGC...
Even his mum don't like him as much as you like him.
That's a fair point. He was ninth in the WGC HSBC Champions event the back end of... what was now the last calendar year. Followed that with 11th and 11th place. Only played one of the Australian events, 11th in the Australian PGA Championship. So in decent touch at the back end of last year, definitely. 2014 was very strong. You look at those results, six top tens he had in 2014, including in this event in Hawaii as well. Course that definitely suits him. He's a very strong iron player, Leishman, but not accurate from the tee. That doesn't hinder performance here. He's got a ninth place as well to his name here at Wailea. That was a couple of years ago. I like his chances. He was 40s. It's been clipped in ever so slightly to 33s, but I'll still take it. 33-1, Mark Leishman.
Yeah, you've picked a number of players that have been cut, haven't you?
Yeah, a couple that have been cut there, English and Leishman, which is a little bit disappointing. And Ollison as well, yeah. So all three of my picks this week have been savaged.
Mark said nipping down and seeing your notes, I reckon.
He's nipping down, definitely. I think you've got it right. We'll hear from Dave Tindall now on the Sony Open, then we'll talk about a couple of the market leaders and get the honourable mentions, as we always like to do. So here now, Dave Tindall's thoughts on the Sony Open. Dave, let's move on to the Sony Open then. Myself and Mike have already given our thoughts on the tournament. Jason Day is the 12-1 favourite for the event. We're in Hawaii again. Wailea, a different golf course to Kapalua. Kapalua, as I've mentioned, more exposed than Wailea. Wailea, a tighter venue. And as you would expect, a lot of the players that have performed well in Kapalua have gone on to have success here in Wailea as well.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Walker last week almost kind of did the Hawaii double. And yeah, in theory, they're very different courses in terms of length and tightness, but essentially it's still Hawaii, it's still breezy. So the similarities and the, you know, if you go over there to play, you tend to sort of feel the vibe of it. So it's not that surprising that people tend to double up. The one I like, who, talking of kind of playing well on both, Chris Kirk, 16-1. I mean, he finished like a train, didn't he, in the Hyundai last week. It was kind of a mixed blessing because I was kind of wanting to back him for this, and you're thinking, oh, don't... You know,
yeah, don't get too close.
Don't ruin your price sort of thing. But I'm happy to take that as a kind of sign that he's ready to win rather than, you know, just sort of guessing that he might be ready. I think we know now. 62. Now he's come here with a fifth and a second in the last 2 years here. So, of course, he likes. He actually says... here and Colonial are his two favourite tracks, I think, on tour. So just as it plays into his hands. So 16-1, I'm prepared to take that on Chris Kirk, the proven winner.
Yes, Chris Kirk, the first selection. And the second selection might surprise a few.
Yeah, having just said proven winner, now there's a proven non-winner, Charles Howell. I mean, yes, let's look for a start. He's 33-1, he's not 10-1, he's not 14-1, he's 33-1. That's an each-way price. And
yes.
Must stress the each wayness of that price, because as we know, he just can't win anything, can he? But his top five record is incredible here. I think he's got about seven of them. So I just think, you know, I think a long term each way betting strategy is to have weeks where you just keep ticking it over and maybe you just settle for a solid.
Yeah.
You know, so if you throw in someone like him, he might be your kind of insurance policy, someone who you almost guarantee to be up there. So 33-1, you never know. We used to rule out Jimmy Walker as a player who would never, ever win, and he can now win, even though he didn't prove it last week. But you can sometimes give up too easily on these guys. They just get a break at the right time, you know. That top five might become a win. So 33 is Howell. Yes, I'll have that.
Yeah, 33-1, Charles Howell. And then throwing in an outsider that I quite like this week at 100-1.
Yeah, Matt Every, he kind of came to our attention in this 2 years ago when he led at halfway. And he got asked some awkward questions about his past in the press conferences and kind of looked a bit kind of sheepish. And I think it didn't help him, to be honest.
No,
I think
it was weird, that, wasn't it, that press conference? I remember it quite vividly because he got asked about using certain substances, didn't he? And it was awkward, very awkward.
Yeah, and it kind of played on his mind, you think, and it kind of was no surprise that on the final day it all caught up with him, kind of thing. But he finished sixth. But he kind of marked his card as someone who might do well here. Then last year he finished eighth, so it is a course he likes. Now he's a tour winner, having won the Arnold Palmer, which got him into last week's event, of course. And he likes Oasis, so I just like him. I like him a lot. You don't get that very much, do you, with US Tour pros? They normally just go hunting and fishing and like Hootie and the Blowfish, so he stands out a bit for me. So 100-1, I was surprised. I thought he might be 66s, given his course record. So, yeah, three-figure price, Matt Every.
Superb. Thank you, Dave. Look forward to having you on the podcast in a live capacity in the forthcoming weeks. Good luck with those selections, especially with Torbjørn Olesen in the event in Abu Dhabi this week. And we'll catch up next week.
Cheers, Dave.
Those musical references, by the way, Mike, completely lost on me. you couldn't pick a worse person to use a musical reference
than
on.
Than you?
Than me. Oh. Oh.
You've heard of Oasis, though.
I've heard of Oasis.
But not Hootie and the
No,
right.
No.
Well, let's leave it at that.
Dave going with Kirk, Howell and Every there.
Yeah. Well, I nearly fell over when I heard he picked Howell there. But he did justify it quite rightly by saying that for players' purposes only, because, you know, he wins less often than Leeds United, who I support. So that's saying something. So
you can get 7-1 a top five. Maybe people not burning the win stake and just playing a 7-1
well,
top five.
You can't see him winning, to be honest, because he backs off terribly when that opportunity arises for his ability. But could easily be in the five, yeah. And has been a number of times, yeah.
Yeah. Who came closest for you in this event then, Mike, apart from your pick?
Well, Russell Henley obviously would have been a pick, but he's 22-1, Dave. He was 40s last week in the 30 runner field. This week he's 22s and 156.
Yeah.
I assume there's 156 runners. Certainly a much bigger field, so actually 144, right, it says in front of me, but you get the message. So I think he'll go very well. Yeah, he should have won last week, maybe. I also think Luke Donald is threatening to win.
Yes. You're a big believer that he's coming back. He's made that switch back to Pat Goss, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's gone back to his old coach. I think he'll win soon, although 33s, maybe I could leave that. Ryan Palmer's a player I like, but I was hoping for a bigger price than him. He plays well here. And probably Gary Woodland has no form here at all, but he's an interesting...
40s.
Yeah. Yeah, he's someone who I've got my eye on. I think he'll have a big year. You know how much I like him.
Yeah, just a few I want to mention. Tim Clark, first of all, played well after a slow start last week to finish seventh, second here in two of his last three starts. I think similar comment supply. He can win now, Tim Clark, but maybe in that Howell mould where if you're thinking about having a bet on him, top five, top ten, could be the way to go.
He
with
wins
Tim
more
Clark.
Often than Howell, though,
he
it,
does.
To be fair.
He does. Matt Every, who I mentioned there with Dave, I liked. Tony Finau, who is a huge talent. He's 66-1. And finally, Robert Streb, who played decent golf last week. I think 40-1. Just a little bit too short, but I think he's a real talent as well.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's a good player. If I was looking for another massive price player, Wilson's three figures. Danny Lee was third at Mayakoba and was 13th here a couple of years ago. I think he's got something about him. He just needs to get his act together. But he's got the ability, I think. So he's an interesting outsider.
Who's the player you don't want to win this week then, Mike?
Well, Russell Henley would have to be the one in the US. No question about that, because his price has collapsed, understandably. He did me a favour last week, don't get me wrong. He placed money, was nice.
Yeah.
And I suppose Brandon Grace in the European.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. Mm. Brandon Grace is the one that I wouldn't want to win in the European event in Abu Dhabi, and I think Tim Clark maybe in the Sony Open is the one that I wouldn't want to see win. If he's in the top five or top 10, good luck to him, but I wouldn't want to see him win the event. Let's recap the selections then, Mike, before we leave the listeners this week.
Yeah, I've only got the two picks, Dave. In Abu Dhabi, I've gone a point each way on Robert Carlsen at 66-1. And in the Sony event in Hawaii, I've the same stake on Mark Wilson at 100s.
Okay, I'm going a point each way on the following as well. Torbjörn Olesen, 28-1 in the Abu Dhabi Golf Championship. And in the Sony Open, a point each way, Harris English at 28s and Mark Leishman at 33-1. And just to quickly recap Dave Tindall's picks, he's with Rose, Olesen, Hatton and Beauregard in Abu Dhabi. And in the Sony Open, going with Kirk, Howell and Every. Remember, you can follow us all on Twitter. It's at D. Kellner, at M. Grenham and at Dave Tindall Golf. And we'll be back for some more action next week, Mike.
Well, it's
been a pleasure.
Cheers, David.
Thank you for listening, folks. Remember, you can download this via iTunes. Just type in William Hill, or you can catch us on audioboom.com as well. Again, just type in William Hill and follow all our on-demand audio via that page. We will be back next week. We'll speak very soon. Get your bets on now for the Abu Dhabi Golf Championship and the Sony Open in Hawaii. Speak soon, folks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.